Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality edition where we take a break from our regular fare here on Cross the Border, the name of my broadcast, and turn on the studio cam and jump into the chat room over at firstamendmentradio.net and talk about current events, interact with you, the listeners, viewers out there, and just pretty much go for a free-for-all here. I am going to open with a scripture verse, so it's a very famous verse, one everybody already knows, but and as let's see, where is it going to start at here? Yes. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it goes on, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you can read that. That's all John chapter 3. And I suggest you read the whole chapter there. I was going to focus a little bit on eternal life, the everlasting life that is promised by the gospel. Now, this is like the premier verse of evangelicalism today. And why is that? Why is that? You know, the question is, do you have eternal life? And, you know, if not, why do you even have the ability to conceive of something that may be eternal? Because none of us seem to be eternal. We're born. We weren't here before we were born. So we aren't eternal or from everlasting. But it seems we get to go into everlasting. Now, there's only one that's from everlasting that has always been eternal, that has always existed, and that is the Almighty God. But this eternal life thing, this everlasting life, is something that you can never lose. And all you have to do is trade in, give everything for it. That's the condition on which eternal life is offered to every man, woman, and child that travels this mortal plane, this temporal existence that we know on planet Earth. And most people don't even believe in eternal life. Most people can't even conceive of that for themselves. But that's the offer. That is what Christ offers to us by his substitutionary sacrifice. He says, if you believe on me, or as we just read there, that whosoever believeth on him, that means I, you, anyone else that will, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, this is not just like I believe the sky is blue or something. This believing in him entails a whole lot more than just accepting the fact. It's accepting the fact and living for it, being willing to give everything for it. But, you know, the question is, and many of you have heard it before, that would you be willing to give everything that you cannot keep to obtain that which you can never lose? And that is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is what he's offering. And that's what we all need to make sure that we have. And I know a lot of people are interested, or they cannot believe of it. Even though they can conceive of it, they can't believe that they can have it. Now, and some of them will even say, well, I believe in God. but I'm not a religious person or something like that. You hear all of these things. I'm just astonished at the things I hear. And these are people that just do not take the time to think. They are so enthralled and so wrapped up and so deluded by the things of this life, the temporal things, the pleasure, the power, money, wealth, poverty, you know. You could be enthralled and wrapped up in negative things too. You don't just have to be wrapped up in good things, you know, because the idea is that anything will keep you from it. Anything can and will keep you from it. And the enemy of mankind, and yes, mankind does have an enemy. We talk about him a lot. In the spiritual realm, is we call him Satan, even the god of this world. And he has his cohorts, his hordes, his antichrist Borg that he controls in this world. And they're doing everything they can to carry out his plan for mankind. That is to just plainly kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. Because he hates God. But eternal life. Are you willing to give everything for it? Well, you should be. Because you're going to die and lose everything anyway. That's, you know, we have to be far-sighted enough to know that everything we have, everything we treasure in this life, we are going to lose it anyway. And as you get older, you know, that you get closer to the date, at least hypothetically speaking, because many of you may die before you ever reach my age, or get older than me, or even a lot younger than me. Many of your lives will, you know, end. Mine could end tomorrow. Anyone's could end. There's no promise there. But I realize I'm much closer to the end of my mortality than I am to my birth into this earthly realm that we live in, that we were born in. I'm much closer to my departure than I am to my arrival. Yeah, because, you know, I'm going to be 70 years old here in just a couple of years, not very long. And I mean, I hope I can stick around till Jesus comes and I can keep doing whatever it is, although I know things are going to change. It looks like the Antichrist and his Borg, his shadow government that, I mean, if anyone has eyes to see, you don't need to look very far to see what's really going on here. But the fact is, just by what's gone on in the last year and a half, it has become so evident that more people, or at least half of the people, 40% for sure, have just believe everything they're told. They just march lockstep. I like that they use that for their, when they ran one of their, what do you call it, trial runs. They called it lockstep. And now they're playing it out lockstep. And you see all these governments, these people are definitely under the control of the Antichrist and moving their, with their authority. Because they've been placed in these positions of authority by the Antichrist and his shadow government, which is really the under the control of the God of this world. Jesus even proclaimed it when he was on the ground in you know, in Judea, and it's recorded in the Bible for us when he was taken to a high place and shown all the kingdoms of the world during his temptation in the wilderness. And Satan took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I don't know how he showed them to him. I don't know what he saw. You know, I don't believe that upholds a flat earth for all you flat earthers out there. You know, you do the gospel and God's word a disservice if you try to say there's a flat earth in the Bible anywhere. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never find the words flat and earth together. But as John Arthur says, I digress. Back to the topic. Jesus was taken up to the high temple. Here's the point. And he was shown all the kingdoms of this world during his temptation, because he was fasting for 30 days. And And Satan said, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will worship me. Yeah, the God of this world. Now, a lot of people fall for this temptation. And you can see them every day. You can point them out. You can go, Gavin Newsom. Yeah, he bowed down to Satan. I'm not afraid to name names. Joe Biden, he bowed down to Satan. You know, I mean, I could go on all day long, and you know it's true. How about Wittmer? Yeah, I'm going to use the German pronunciation of Wittmer over there in my native state of Michigan, where I was born. Yeah, she bowed down. They're bowing down all over the place. And some of them bowing down a little more openly than others. But he is the God of this world, and he has controls of all the governments. And Jesus said, no. He said, I will not. Because he couldn't put himself under Satan and his control. You know, just think what you could just think. We could carry out your social agenda, Jesus. You know, we could take care of the poor. We could give money to people who need it. We can control everything. I mean, I'm going to tell you this Marxist, communist, socialist agenda is Satan's agenda. There's absolutely nothing new about it. And then you have all of the dispensationalists. They're still sitting around twiddling their thumbs, waiting for the Ribera's counter-reformation anti-antichrist to show up for the last 7 years. Boy, Satan's got you in his pocket. He's got you deluded and believing a lie, waiting for a 7 year tribulation deception. We're already in the last days, and we are in the tribulation of the last days. And we're down into the last 40 years now, perhaps 35 years. Not long, you know? So, eternal life. That's what we're after. And that's what we have to offer. Get out your gospel. Get your Bible out and read it. Read the New Testament. Read all of the gospels, if that's what it takes. Start with Matthew and read all the way through to John. Read all four gospels. You'll get the gospel story from four different perspectives. And if you don't understand who Jesus is by the end of that, and you don't understand what the gospel means by the end of that, then perhaps you're just blind. You're not one of the elect. Go on about your business. Have your best life now, because you better get your best life now, because it's all you're going to get. Because after that, you're dead forever. And dead ain't what you think it is. It isn't just dirt. Your spirit is dead somewhere, and there's an eternal place for dead spirits, the place of the dead. I mean, there's a lot. You watch any of your contemporary TV, and they have a lot of dead places for the dead that they're incorporating in a lot of fiction and a lot of stuff that's going on out there in the world. So if you want to be one of those dead, well, it's going to be worse than that, because there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is going to be no good thing in hell. Not one good thing at all. And perhaps you think, well, I deserve hell. I've been a really bad person. But, you know, if eternal life is offered to you, why not reach for it? Why not grab onto it? Because you're not worthy. Yeah, let's just settle that point right now. I am not worthy. You are not worthy. There is only one who is worthy of eternal life through Christ Jesus. One in all of the history of mankind. One man is worthy. And that is Jesus himself. No one else is worthy. We are only made worthy by his blood. And, you know, Jesus decided to make some pretty despicable people worthy by his blood. And he put them on display. You got that Old Testament. You know, you got all those stories about people that did terrible things. You know, murder, adultery, and God knows what else. You know, the prophet who said, I am a man of unclean lips. Can you identify with that? I don't know how many times I've spoken something come out of my mouth that I don't know where it came from, but it's in there and it keeps coming out. And I have to say, forgive me, Father. I am a man of unclean lips. And I'm a man who has sinned greatly. I am not worthy. So I'm over that. I'll never will be worthy, never will be good enough. But I'll tell you what, I am being perfected. I am in the process of being. Doesn't matter where you start in your process of being perfected. It just matters that you do start allowing the Holy Spirit to work repentance in your life. That's what matters. Then eternal life is yours. Everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Yeah, we got lots of examples of perishing, don't we? You got some in your refrigerator. I'm sure you do. You've seen it. That bag of potatoes that starts smelling really bad. Nothing worse than rotten potatoes. Oh, yes, there is. Perishing forever in hell. You think the stench of rotten potatoes or rotten eggs or just the worst smell on earth that you could imagine is bad? Wait till you get to hell. Oh, I don't want to go there. No, thank you. Because I believe the word of God. I believe what Jesus said. And he talked about everlasting punishment, where the worm dieth not, and the flame never goes out. It never consumes either. Yeah, don't want to go there. So, are you willing to trade everything? Because it may cost you everything. We're in those days. I'm going to tell you, the last 50 or 100 years in America has been an anomaly in all of the history of the world, especially the last 2,000 years or the last 3,000 years. The anomaly, you know, and I'm certain here and there people have had pockets of peace, or if someone might have had a lifetime of peace, but this is an anomaly. We're going back to normal now, and the scripture told us all about it. Let's see, my good friend Sid sent me something here. Let me put this on the screen if I can find it. Here it is. Oh, here it is. He finished the chart, and I'm looking at the end of the chart here. And this is his chart, the biblical history chart. And he can see he has America here, beast from the earth, the new world. And America, the two-horned earth beast, I call it. And it has two horns. And I believe those horns are indicative of a dichotomy, a division of power, that one is lamb-like and one speaks like a dragon. And that's pretty good when you go over the history of the world, to have a place on earth where you have an equilibrium between good and evil. And it's a very marked equilibrium between good and evil. It has become so plain today for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, to see this struggle. And the struggle has become more pronounced in the last, especially in the last year. Thank you for that, WW. And everyone that's shown up in the chat room, I want to thank you for showing up for the broadcast today. WW confirms it. He says, I've deserved hell. I've been a really good person. Yeah. That could be a meme, huh? That'll get the world to turn their head. Huh? What? Because that's what most people think out there in the world. I'm a good person. And you know what? Comparatively speaking, you are. but compared to Jesus, you're a total failure because you have sinned. That's it. And the wages of sin is death. You're dead. Without the blood of Christ applied to your account, you are dead. And that's all there is to it. Dead. So are you willing? That's it. Are you willing to give everything that you have to obtain the gospel? It's kind of like that parable that Jesus told about the man who found a treasure in a field, and he went and sold all that he had so that he could buy that field and obtain that treasure. That's it. Are you willing to give everything? Then give it. start living your life today for Christ. It doesn't mean you have to run out and give your car away or give your house away or whatever, or give your fortune away. But it may. You may want to give most of your fortune away and keep enough to take care of yourself so that you can serve God. Or you just might want to take your fortune and serve God with your fortune and find people who are preaching the gospel and preaching the truth of God's word. And give some of your fortune to them or labor for them. Who do you labor for? You work really hard. You're making $10,000 a month. Are you giving a tithe even? $10,000 a month? I could give $8,000 of that away really easy. Because I live on less than $2,000 already right now. So, I mean, see these people, you know, they say that poverty is what? What's the poverty now of something like 40,000 a year? I don't even make that. So I'm already below the poverty level. If I give 10%, I'm giving a lot. But for someone that's making 40,000, 100,000 a year, half a million a year, you could live on, you know, 50,000-60,000 real easy and real comfortably. Yeah. Unless you have to live where your rent is $10,000 a month. I don't know. See, every case is different. You know, you have to answer to God. It's between you and Him, between you and His Holy Spirit. But you have to give everything. Everything in your life. Your labor, your treasure. You have to give it all to Him. And then you have to start, as Jesus said, start storing up your treasure in heaven, where moth nor rust can corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal. Now here, they can take your treasure in a minute. Especially because you don't even, I mean, they've already stolen your treasure. You know, your bank account doesn't belong to you anymore. You got a bank account with Federal Reserve digits in it? Those aren't your digits. Those belong to the Federal Reserve. And they can take them away in a minute. And if you got e-coins or e-bit, what they call Bitcoin and all that stuff, yeah, that can all disappear in a moment. Or there could be an invasion. You could lose all your property, everything you have. You may have to flee for your life and leave everything behind. You can lose it all in a minute. That's history. Like I said, the last 100 years here in America has been an anomaly. History is starting to exert itself big time. And it is not going to be easy for any of us. And I hope that frightens you enough that you'll fall down on your face and worship God and give Him your life. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Let's take a look at this chart a little bit more in depth, and I'm hoping that I can help. Oh, let me see. I forget the guy's name that sent me this. Sammy, that was it. Sammy sent me this, and he's in somewhere in Western Europe. I forget exactly the Norwegian country, somewhere around there, if I remember correctly. I guess I could look at his email here and see where that was at. Oh, well, I don't want to look for it. Forgive me for that. Okay, but anyway, I wanted to make some comments on it here. He has the beast from the earth, and I would call it the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast. Two horns, one like a lamb, the other speaks like a dragon. And we see this dichotomy. The more fierce the battle becomes between these two horns, the more pronounced it is, such as it is today. Things were pretty calm in the past, but believe me, behind the scenes, there was a battle going on. We're just seeing it because we are also, I would say, right here in the chart, where about the same time that the earth beast rises, the two-horned earth beast rises, is about the same time that we have the loosing of the three frog spirits to prepare the world or the earth and everything for the great day of God Almighty. And the croaking just gets louder and louder. It's like the cacophony that starts out really low, and it just keeps getting louder and louder until the day that Christ returns. And we can see it's getting louder and louder. And well, just look at history, and you can see that these three frog-like spirits have been doing their work and will continue to work. So we can only expect the battle to rage even hotter between in the spiritual realm and spilling out over into the temporal realm as we get nearer to the return of Christ and the last millennium. Okay, so I would say that this about the same time here, you know, perhaps right before around 1800 somewhere, that vial was poured out, which included the three frog spirits. And I believe that I'm speaking correctly here when I say that. Yeah. He doesn't have the vials, the trumpets, and so forth in this chart, and that's something he's going to have to work on. Oh, he does have them at the bottom here. So, third trumpet, woe, sixth trumpet, and so there are the trumpets. And if I scroll down here, let's see, do we have the vials? Yeah, okay, yeah, here he has the vials. So he does have the sixth vial here, and he has that about 1821 with the fall of the Ottoman Empire. So that would be about right, I guess. So that would be right around early 19th century, the pouring out of the sixth vial and the loosing of those three frog-like spirits. So, you know, I sometimes call it, we're in the three frog spirit era leading up to the return of Christ and the great day of God Almighty, which is another name for that, I believe, is Armageddon. Okay. The final battle of this era, okay? The great day of God Almighty, when Christ returns and that battle ensues. That's what this is all leading up to that we're going through now. So it's not going to get better. We're not going to turn back. There's no coming back from the point we're at now. This is it. There is no coming back. 2030 is the agenda of the Antichrist, the Antichrist Borg and their shadow government, and its shadow government. The Borg are all those who blindly follow, and worship and follow the Antichrist, or worship the Antichrist, the beast, or its image. Okay. They are the Borg. They just kind of like mind controlled Borg. They've been assimilated. And for many of them, there's no turning back. Just as we're jumping into this era, that there is no turning back. We're not going back to the 50s or the 60s or the good times that we think of as the old normal. Because our old normal, okay, was an anomaly in world history, really, when you think about it. Because we had the first era, the pre-flood era, the world was just full of violence, you know, worse than it is now, but it is getting there again, okay? And you can see it's getting there, where it will not be safe to walk down even the streets of America. And a lot of places, it isn't safe, but it's going to get much worse before Christ comes. We're not coming back from this, okay? It's nice to have if we have a little reprieve where there isn't all-out rioting and looting and wanton mayhem and murder, okay? What do we have to look forward to in the future? Well, for the elect, we will continue to be excluded from everything that the government... That's why the government wants to control everything, so that... Because remember, who is the God of this world and the God of all the governments of this world? Basically, it is the Antichrist and his shadow government that rules the world. We just talked about that in our last segment, where Jesus recognized it in his time. He would not bow down and worship Satan. Social governmental programs were not the way to save the world. Sin is the problem. That's the problem with the world, and that's why the world can't fix it. Because the harder they try, the worse it gets. The harder sinful man tries to control things, the worse it gets. Because they try to exclude God, and some of them are even tempted into thinking that God is the problem, or that a belief in God is the problem. And you know that's what they believe. That's why they're out there murdering people by injection now. Yeah. And believe me, it's deliberate. It is absolutely deliberate. They know that they're not going to tell you it's deliberate. They're going to say, oh, here, line up for euthanasia. Do your duty. Who wants to do that? Let the other guy, you know, line up for euthanasia. Yeah. But not me. Yeah. And that's how they feel. They want to, reduce the population of the earth, but not them. Not their loved ones, just all those masses of people that they don't care about. And that's just about everybody. Everyone is expendable to them, except those they do care about. Yeah. Which means you and me. Yeah, they don't care about us. They don't care about the right or the left or the red or the blue. They don't care about those that attend their church or the other church or the church they don't like. Just everyone is expendable. Even their own are expendable. Just so it's not them. Yeah, that's all they care about. But they will have their derision. Their derision is coming. And see, for us who have eternal life through Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter if we live or die. Of course, we want to live, and we want our friends to live, and we care about the lives of others. But if we have to lay down our lives, it's okay, because we have eternal life. Our faith says that we are going to rise from the dead on the day promised when Christ returns, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I believe that, and I believe that I know that. Yeah. And I know the world finds that hard to believe, but hey, how come you can conceive of eternal life? Those critters out, the animals can't, my dog can't, my cat can't, my goats, my horses, my chickens, none of them are making plans for even this mortal life. They can't even conceive of death. You know, I've seen chickens walk over the dead carcasses of their chicks as if they were nothing and weren't there. They care about them while they're living. You know, they're doing everything they're programmed, but once they're dead, it's like they don't even exist. They don't even recognize or understand what death is or that they are going to die. The same with the goats and the horses and the dogs. They don't mourn. It's just, they don't, no conception of death or life. They just are. And they're just running on the program that God programmed them with. Okay? And our program is corrupted. Yeah, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help start rewriting our program. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to trust Bill Gates or the pharmaceutical witchcraft to rewrite my programming. I'm going with the Holy Spirit program. And that means repentance, having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. See, that's how we do it. That's the only reprogramming I want. I don't want any of this witchcraft, pharmakia, sorcery stuff going on. I don't like drugs, okay? I don't even like to take an aspirin. I think I took one 3 or 4 years ago. Don't like to take no drugs at all. And the last time I took a drug, I'm sorry I did. I took an antibiotic and got a reaction to it. And it wasn't a nice reaction. It was an autoimmune reaction. And that's not fun. Yeah. But as soon as I figured out what was going on, I knew what to do about it. And so I'll stay away from all drugs. I'll live the rest of my life without taking any drugs. Yeah. If I can help it at all. Now, you know, I might take something like ivermectin. If I got infected with a real bad COVID virus, this new strain or whatever, ivermectin, I hear, is pretty good therapeutic, okay? Or prophylactic, or whatever you call it. So, there's a time for some things, but a lot of this pharmaceutical stuff that's going on, and when I realize that our enemy, the enemy of America, that is making 80 to 90% of all of the drugs for this country, and antibiotics, I kind of wonder if they say, well, that batch is going to America. Let's put something else in there that will not be good. Because they are enemies. And see, these are the people who are in control of the government that are under the influence of the Antichrist and his shadow government. Yeah, don't believe for a minute that the Antichrist and his shadow government don't have a stranglehold in China. You better believe they do. Wherever it is more draconian, wherever the government is more draconian, see that draconian referring to the dragon, and oh my goodness, what's their state animal over there in China? It is the dragon. The dragon is an emblem of Satan, emblematic even in the scriptures. So he has more control there probably than any other place on earth. Yeah. But he has a great control here in America, too. He has a foothold. The Antichrist has he owns Washington, D.C. That's why he wanted to get all of the state representatives and congressmen in Washington. See, this government was laid out so that all of those congressmen and all of those senators, they lived in their states. Yeah. But now they all moved to Washington, D.C., where they can be controlled. That was not by accident. Better believe the Antichrist and his shadow government, who owns Washington, D.C., they made it that way. They designed it. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. Yeah. And read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. Get a little insight. At the end of the book, he goes off the deep end on this Cain-Abel analogy. Other than that, it's a good book. It can open your eyes to, what's going on, especially here in America, what happened and how it happened, why it happened, and what the end was. Well, we can see what the end was because we're living the end. See, the Antichrist and his shadow government, because they work for Satan, they're in it for the long game. Now, they use people that are in it for the short gain, but they're in it for the long game, okay? And they can control people through their desires, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust for power, all of those things they can use to give people what they want in the short run to gain what they want in the long run. And the long run being, of course, decades and centuries. But, Satan is deceived if he thinks he's going to win in the end, because he's not. I read the book. Satan may have read the book, but I don't believe he understands it as well as he might think he does. Okay. Garlic is a good antibiotic. Onions are good too. I eat a lot of onions and garlic myself. Okay, they're talking about the Geneva Bible over there. In the chat room. Okay, what else we got? Okay, so anyway, we've talked a little bit about that chart. Those are things that I would change on it, or some things. Also, he has in here the 1290 days. He says, and I like this. This is great honesty here that Sammy's done here. He's done this option one, the 1290 prophetic days, and the 1335. He says option one, 70 A.D. And he blows. Ending doesn't seem to fit. He's right, because those are literal days and not year-for-day prophecies. And I've covered that in many of my studies. And also, he's honest about that. Ending doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work no matter what you do. And then he has an option too. He says beginning doesn't seem to fit. So because the ending they put somewhere. So I would just erase that whole thing, because that's all erroneous speculation. Those are literal days, and I've made them fit in history where they're supposed to be. I didn't speculate a beginning or an end. I just put the beginning and the end where they fell in the scripture. And then also the other one is the 2300 days. He also has that down here. There it is, 2300 prophetic days in Daniel 8, and he just has question mark, question mark, question mark, because it just doesn't seem to fit. I believe those are literal days, and that it was 2300 literal days, and the end was the first, the cleansing of the temple, and you can read about it in Ezra chapter 6. That's the end of the 2300 days. I haven't been able to find the beginning or pinpoint it, because it doesn't say what day it was, or it doesn't seem to fit. I just believe I don't have enough, or we don't have enough historical information to fit it. But I'm not going to speculate it off into 2300 years, because nothing seems to fit. He's got two different options here from two different expositors, I believe. Let's see. And a 2500 years. 20. Yeah, that's something wrong with 2500 years. So anyway, there's some problems with speculation. I think all speculation ought to be left off. But anyway, I'll have to talk to Sammy about that in this chart. But it's a good effort here, and he's still working on it and developing it. So hopefully that's something that we can use in the future. Okay, I want to shout out to Michael Eugene. Thank you for the letter. Appreciate your support there. Some people actually mail their support to us in a more substantial form than digits or PayPal. Not that we don't appreciate that, but I could be taken off of PayPal, and likely will be taken off of PayPal. So if you're giving to us on PayPal, consider sending us a check and go to our support page and learn how to do that. There's a link there on how to fill out a check and designate it for First Amendment Radio or your favorite program. And that way, it goes into our trust bank account to help pay our bills. Eventually, that will likely be lost, and I will be wandering the streets preaching the gospel to anyone that'll listen. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. Nicholas Arthur, I've been meaning to call you for a long time.
Well, you finally did it. I appreciate it. Who am I talking to?
This is Harvey in Florida.
Well, good day, Harvey. What do you got for us?
All right, your phone is breaking up a little bit. We'll see if we could continue.
Well, you sound good, so go on.
Yeah, it's probably on your side, but because I have perfect reception here, but let's try it. First of all, I'd like to know, I've been listening to one of your shows for years and years and years, and for some reason, it seems like lately it's all repeats.
Repeats where? Oh, you mean the summer, this summer.
Anthony's Journal.
Yeah, well, he took a week off, so we repeated him. And in the summer, Eddie, hey, we're going into a break, Harvey. You want to hang on or you want to call back? Or
I'll call back and maybe we'll get a better connection.
Okay, hopefully. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes, folks, and we'll hear from Harvey when we get back.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And guess who called back in? It's Henry from Florida. So go ahead and talk to us, Henry.
All right. Well, my name is not Henry. My name is Harvey.
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 Boy, I lost it. Took me 7 minutes to forget.
That's all right.
My apology, Harvey. Oh, yeah, man. Right.
You have the mystery caller every Wednesday, the mystery caller that hangs up on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. All right, Harvey. Hey, my daughter's been on vacation for a month. She'll be back late tonight, so that's going to take some of the load off me. But during the summer, I do a lot of replays. That's true. So if you're talking about what's on First Amendment Radio, yes, I agree.
Well, I love Greg Anthony's outlook on things, but I know he's living in Mexico or something, and he's very rarely ever live. Very rarely. It seems like quite a bit of repeats with him.
Well, yeah, I know he did a whole week of repeats. He's probably done a lot of repeats this summer too, but that's true. But this whole week so far, and last week was all new broadcasts.
I tried listening, but it was talking about Trump president again. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's giving me some repeats to run too. So, yeah. Well, you know,
I really appreciate him, and I'd love to hear more live stuff. That's all.
Yeah. Well, he has a website. You can go there. It's gregantony.wordpress.com, and complain to him there.
No, I know. Well, you don't speak with him too often.
No, he just sends me programs to put on every day, so I don't listen to him, but I do hear them on the air, and I go, hey, what's he talking about? he's still talking January. I'm going, no, he's sending me, he's sending me old stuff.
He's talking about the election, Liz.
Right, right, yeah. I get that.
I think the election's over.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reach him. Years ago I tried to reach him. And I actually remembered now that I spoke to you once, I think, years ago, about your taste in religious music is, terrible. I can't quite take it. It's very, very unnerving. But that's alright. I listen to you all the time. But now whatever happened, With this Rick Wiles gang, you don't carry him anymore? Whatever happened with that?
No, he's pretty much gone on with the, and has joined with a lot of Catholics. So.
You're breaking up. You have the worst phone in the world. You have a lot of interference on your end.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible setup. But anyway, he's joining up with a lot of Catholicism. So we're pretty much dropping Rick Wiles.
Well, Rick Wiles, I'll tell you, I went by his place there, and he's in Vero Beach.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to see him quite a few years ago, because I used to do radio in West Palm Beach. But at any rate, I tried doing something with him, but because I'm Jewish, he wouldn't even come out and talk to me. He's an anti-Semitic bastard, to tell you the truth. And he's a multimillionaire anti-Semite. You know he's a multimillionaire now, right?
Yeah, I know. He bragged about selling 600,000 copies of his book.
For $100, he'll even sign it for you.
Yeah, for $100, he'll even sign it for you. So I pretty much stayed away from Rick Wiles because he's even got Catholics now as on regularly, you know, as part of his lineup. So he's got that former homosexualist Catholic guy, and it's very Catholic. He's in bed with the Antichrist, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, that's too bad. But hey, you know.
I'll say the same thing about him that I say about Donald Trump. Their motto is the same as P.T. Barnum. You know what that was?
Yeah, a sucker is born every minute or something like that.
A sucker is born every minute.
Yeah.
And it never was truer with Rick Wiles. You can't see that guy's as phony as a $3 bill. You gotta be blind. And he's got tens of thousands, I heard him say recently, of consistent donors, people that send him money every month automatically. He likes that.
Yeah, and a lot of them are Catholic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they are, but he's as phony as a $3 bill. I can't believe the people are so ignorant they can't see through him. Terrible. And the show gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
Once in a while, he used to have a decent show once in a blue moon, but not anymore. Now he's just a money grubbing bastard.
Well, yeah, it's becoming more like the Praise the Lord show, you know, used to be. Yeah, it's getting more like that. They got this girl on there with the long fake eyelashes now, you know, all the makeup.
Oh,
and
yeah. what did they call her in the Bible? Jezebel?
Apparently.
Yeah, that's his Jezebel. Maybe that'll be his new bride when he dumps the last one. I don't know.
Yeah, and the Catholic former homosexualist.
Unbelievable. Well, I just wanted to voice, because he doesn't take calls, and rightly so. If he took calls, I'd give him a piece of my mind. But I think I once sent him an email explaining to him, when he calls him to his show, the Godcast, that's when I really started to lose it.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got his book, The Final Day, the Catholic version of prophecy.
The Godcast. He calls himself the Godcast, and he has the sycophant.
Yeah.
The sycophant on and is in his next to him. He's got about three or four or five, six, seven of them. And he became a multimillionaire because he bought the church that he bought, the big church he bought. They bought that for $1 million cash.
Well, it sounds like, Harvey, you would know more than me about it because you're a lot closer to where he is. But let's talk about something more pleasant, or at least not Rick Wiles.
I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a personal story.
Okay, go ahead.
My brother died of COVID about 9 months ago.
I was sorry to hear about that.
This thing is as real as you can imagine, man. It's unbelievable. And that was before the latest version. I saw pictures of my brother he sent me from his cell phone on his deathbed.
Yeah, the only thing more deadly than COVID is the so-called COVID vaccine.
Well, maybe
Did I say that on YouTube?
What's that?
Did I say that on YouTube?
No, I know that YouTube is messed up. Don't.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to delete this video right away.
I see the pros and cons of everything.
Yeah. I'm just fishing in YouTube's pond, man.
From my own experience, every time my brother took a breath, he would cough. And then they put him on oxygen.
Yeah.
They put him on more oxygen and more oxygen. And at the end, he just couldn't breathe. Yes, his lungs were infested like unbelievable. Yes, some people have a terrible reaction to the vaccine. I myself took the vaccine, and it's been about 5 months, 6 months. In fact, 6-7 months, and I'm perfectly healthy.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones. Don't get another one though.
So far, I'm a lucky one, and I haven't never got the COVID. Now, there's a strain in Florida that's super deadly, and it's taking people over. I just did a restaurant picking up my lunch before I called you, and the girl there behind the counter, the to-go place, she told me she had it a few months ago, and she survived. She was a lot younger. She's about 35. But her parents both, her mother and her stepfather both have it right now, and it's most likely the Delta variant. And they live right near me here.
Mm.
And that my hospital is loaded. And as a matter of fact, in Orlando, they're putting out the tents in the parking lot again. It's worse. It's like unbelievably worse than ever. So it's not all BS. And you shouldn't take it lightly, because they've been playing with these germ weapons for years and years and years, both sides. All sides.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Harvey. Hey, I want to get back into some news. I'm kind of running out of time on this program, but I do thank you for calling in.
A live report from a real knowledgeable person. I study this crap all day and all night, including yours. I listen to everything you have to say, and you're very interesting, and you're a wonderful person.
Well, God bless you, Harvey. Thank you for that. You have a wonderful day. Bye.
God be with you.
Okay, well, yeah, I know that, even Rick Wiles almost died from COVID. So you can die from COVID viruses. A lot of people do. Most people do die from a cold. My own sister died from a cold virus, probably even a COVID virus back in 1985, but she had leukemia. So if you're compromised, your immune system is compromised, a cold is likely going to kill you. If something else doesn't get you first. So it's very serious, especially those that are immune compromised and have comorbidities, as they call them, or other health problems. So it's always wise to keep yourself as healthy as you can. Me, I would rather get the COVID virus and battle it. I've battled a lot of viruses. Many times felt like I was going to die. Couldn't breathe very well and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I've had several episodes of that in my life. And it does bring you close to your mortality. And you start calling on the name of Jesus and saying, okay, if you're taking me home, I guess I'm coming home, you know. But see, that's the difference between those of us that are the elect and have the blood of Jesus covering our sins. We already have the down payment. We are already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we have that assurance that eternal life is ours. And that's how we began the program. And so it's no wonder we keep coming back to that. So whatever you believe about the COVID virus or the vaccine and all of that, a lot of people, they've discovered, and it's even come out in the news, a lot of people got a placebo. They didn't really get the COVID virus. And as far as an Antichrist Borg plan, a shadow government plan to push this thing out, to get people to trust it, to give most people a placebo in the beginning. So they go, oh, nothing. Yeah, nothing happened to me. You might have been one of the lucky ones that got a placebo and didn't get the spike-producing RNA messenger injected into you that creates spike proteins throughout your body, which kill you, because the spike protein is the virus. And if your body creates it, the thesis being that they program your body to create the spike protein, and then which trains your immune system to attack the spike protein, and that gives you immunity. Huh? I mean, I saw a problem with that in the beginning, and now you can see the problem coming about with the spike protein producing blood clots and other problems, but a lot of blood clots because it's attacking the body everywhere it goes, or your body is attacking itself. It's kind of like autoimmune disease, which I had a little bout with because, like I said, back a couple years ago when I got my my dental implant, when they put the bone graft in, I took the antibiotic because they told me to. I thought, okay, well, I'd taken antibiotics before. And when I was a child, because I had chronic ear infections as a child. So I took it, and that was a problem. That was the last time I took an antibiotic. Okay, your name and where you're calling from. Ah, ghost caller number one. Okay, so we'll continue here. What else do we have? The imposter and chief. Yeah, I keep hearing, it really irks me, you know, when I'm listening to the news and I hear the imposter and chief's voice on the news or the radio. Whether it's, well, it's mostly because the news I listen to and stuff, it's mostly negative. But when they play his voice, it really bothers me because, you know, having to hear the imposter and chief speak. And just realizing that this guy, is not really the true, voted for president. But then I thought about it. I said, well, he's just the last imposter in chief. We've had many before him, that were in the office and not voted for. And it kind of, you know, I really gave up on the elections a long time ago and just stopped voting. Myself decided that voting was a problem because they kept saying, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. And I thought about that and I thought, no, if you vote, you can't complain because voting is a social contract. When you enter into it and you agree that whatever the outcome of the election, that you're fine with it because you agreed to it before you voted. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't have voted unless you agreed to it. So you agree to the social contract. So you have no right to complain. Yeah. The only right you have is to go out there and vote differently next time. That's your right. So you have no right to complain if you do vote. If you don't vote, you can complain all you want for all the good it'll do you anyway, because you just realize that the elections are primarily controlled, especially the important ones. It's like the entire West Coast, I believe, was what they did last year nationally. They've been doing for years up and down the West Coast, Western Coast of the United States. There's a dynasty that rules the West Coast. Okay, it's a family dynasty. Gavin Newsom's part of it, and so is Nancy Pelosi. They're even related by blood. Okay. So we have a dynasty on the West Coast. I'm not sure that'll change. But with a lot more people looking into the elections and it might change, you know. I don't know about Larry Elder. He seems like to be the best hope for a conservative, you know, West Coast, coming from talk radio. So he has a history. I haven't looked into it, but someone might want to look more into the history. But we've got this coming up next month, this ousting of Gavin Newsom, or we should say SJ, because he is. You can look on his Wikipedia page, Gavin Newsom, SJ, you know, trained at a Jesuit university. No wonder he does whatever the Antichrist wants, you know. Just blatantly in your face. So, you know, could it be better? Maybe, you know, maybe it could be better. You know, if I'm going to go with my, my thesis that, you know, the two horns of the earth beast are an equal power struggle over here in the United States of America, we got an equal power struggle going on, a battle going back and forth, pulling. It's like a tug of war, and the mud pit's in the middle. You know, nobody wants to fall in. One side will get a little mud on it, and it keeps going back and forth. That's kind of what I see, because I don't see any difference in those two horns throughout the life of the beast as depicted in the scripture, or the end of it may just be left out for us to guess. We just get to know what the beginning is, you know, but because it's going up to the end, to the great day of God Almighty. So but we know that that earth beast did create an image to the Western, the Antichrist beast power, you know, that the historical 1260 year reign of the Antichrist, that beast, the one that controlled Western Europe, the one with the 10 horns. See, the earth beast, the two horned earth beast creates an image to it. Okay. And we've discovered that that is the United Nations, is that image, because the United Nations is only an image. It doesn't have a locality like all of the other beast powers have a physical locality on earth that they rule over. This one's just a ruling without a locality of its own, making it an image of the first beast of Revelation, chapter 13. Okay. So, which the earth beast creates, which after World War II was created by the earth beast. As a matter of fact, it's domiciled in what used to be the capital of the United States of America, which is New York City. Yeah, before Washington, D.C. was made the capital. New York City was the capital. And I don't think that was the only capital. You can go into history. It doesn't matter anyway. But that's where the image of the beast is domiciled, in New York City, the United Nations. Okay. So we see all this history as foretold by the scripture has played out. And you can read all about that in several books I've written. One, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, and my Exposition of the Revelation. If you read those two books, you'll have a fairly comprehensive view of prophecy and history and how where we stand contemporarily in prophecy. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have here? Let me check the chat room. I was 15 and knew the swine flu vax was a hoax, says WW in the chat room. And so it's got people talking in there because, Harvey was talking about that. And like I think you may have got a placebo, Harvey. Okay, let's see if we got a real caller this time. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air with Nicholas. Okay, ghost caller number two, or number one calling back in. Yes, they come out of the woodwork, don't they? Yes, indeed. I hope that they're not making me look bad. If they are, I figure I already look bad enough, so I don't need any help on that. Yeah. Okay. What else do we got here? Let's see. France rebels, Australia folds to vaccine authoritarianism. And so I guess we're going to have to, once they roll out the mandates, I believe that that'll be the point. And the problem is with Australia folds to vaccine authoritarianism is that I heard, and I'm not, can't confirm this because I haven't confirmed it, that they only have like an 18% vaccination rate in Australia. So, but, they folded. Also, I do know for a fact, and anyone can confirm this, it was, I think it was about 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that they destroyed all of the guns. And now in Australia, only the government and criminals have guns. Or is that the same thing? Or criminal government. Only the criminal government have guns. So that's problematic. And that's one reason why, gun rights has been so stout and been holding in America, because we've seen history and we know history and we should be teaching history that whenever you take the guns away, that the government starts to eliminate millions of its population. Now, they haven't started to eliminate millions in Australia yet. I don't know if they can. I don't even know how many million people went, 25 million in Australia or something like that. I don't know what their actual thing is, but this week has seen some incredible scenes out of France as the people rise up against Macron, a Macron regime that is trying to lock down the country under a new Orwellian vaccine passport system. Meanwhile, Australia continues to descend deeper into the authoritarian abyss as fanatical government ministers continue to pursue a zero COVID strategy by locking down its biggest cities in an attempt to vaccinate its population. Fascism continues to find a way to institute national vaccine mandate by forcing Americans to accept the unlicensed experimental corporate injection, all this and more. And that's where it seems it's crazy, you know? Here it is. 3/4 of new COVID cases are in vaccinated people, CDC study. Okay? From the CDC, 3/4. You know what that means? That means that it doesn't work if that is its purpose. Okay? If it's supposed to vaccinate people against COVID, it does not work. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We come here every Wednesday and turn on the studio cam and jump into the chat room. So if you're listening, you can come over to firstamendmentradio.net, click on the chat room there and join the live broadcast and jump into the chat room with the chatters that are there and ask questions, comments, and participate in the broadcast as far as that is possible for you. If not, just keep listening to First Amendment Radio. We also have an app. Yes, in the Google App Store. It's a Prophecy Reality News app. So make sure you look for that. Or if you have an Apple product, we're not in their App Store. We boycotted their App Store because we didn't want to pay them $100 a year. Besides paying the person that's keeping up our app. So we made our own, app page. You can go open your browser on your iProduct and go to firstamendmentradio.net or .com, either one works, /MOBI. And you'll see our page there where you can access all of our broadcasts. You can listen live and all of our podcasts are available there, every broadcast. And they're renewed every day, for the ones that are new every day, or every week for those that are new weekly. So make sure you take advantage of that. You can listen to First Amendment Radio everywhere you go, while you're working, whatever you want on your dumb phone, or smartphone or whatever you got. Okay? All right. Let's see. Mike Lindell's symposium. I started to watch a little bit of that yesterday. I got bored. And someone commented in the chat room earlier that he needs a producer more than I do. And you know what? I agree with you. For what I watched, it needed a producer really bad. He said he had three or four fallback positions, and they kept failing on him or something. And so it just fell apart. And he does need a producer. He needs a writer, someone to script his thing. But I'm hoping someone will take and do the best of, you know, to give us that they can squeeze into, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. That way I don't have to bore myself to death to look for the nuggets. Hopefully someone will do that. I'm sure there'll be a few people that will take care of that for us. So I'll wait for that to come out before I see what Mike Lindell's done. And in a way, it's, you know, because we were speaking of the elections earlier, and I'm not sure he's going to have much, if any, effect on the elections moving forward. Hopefully, you know, whatever. I don't know. We'll see. I'll take a wait and see position, but I'm not going to run down and register to vote. not yet. Yeah, probably never. So that takes care of that. But I think we have a much more important thing is fighting against this totalitarian, vaccine mandate thing going on and getting the word out so that more people don't line up for it, because I think they're done with placebos. Yeah. So if you got the vaccine early on, or even got your vaccine from the first shipments, or they say the vaccine, the real vaccine degrades. That's why they had to keep it refrigerated. So if it degrades, it may become less harmful. So, but you know, you can't count on any of those things. So if you like Harvey, you had no effect and you took the vaccine, don't get another one. Be very afraid and maybe it was fortunate that you got one of the placebos, okay? That would be a wise way to start out if you want to transform humanity. That's why I call it the, you know, Antichrist Borg transhuman jab, because I'm not having anyone rewriting my DNA to create a spike protein. No, thank you. I'm going to go with God on this one. I believe that he made us, and even as imperfect as we are, and as many imperfections that have worked their way into our genome over the last 5,000 years, I'm still going to stick with that, okay? I don't like the idea of evil men like Bill Gates and people who are making billions of dollars, even though the government gave them the money, supposedly through Project Warp Speed. Yeah, thank you, Donald Trump, for that one. Like, worst president ever, man. I don't care what people say. He might have done some good things, but he wiped everything out with warp speed. If he'd have kept his word 2 weeks to flatten the curve and had the guts, or maybe he didn't need guts. Maybe he was just part of the cabal. Yeah. Just so he could continue to play the game later on. And he's deceiving you all. Can't deceive me because I'm not going to vote for him. It won't be my fault. Or if he gets in there again, of course, you know, what do you say to that? You know, I know who I don't want in. I mean, if I had to choose between, I don't know who the Dems are going to put up this time for their part of the dichotomy. And who the Republicans are going to put up. But, you know, I always have my druthers. But I don't like any of them, yeah, honestly speaking. But I do like what our good friend Rand Paul has said. He said, resist. And I think we should do what he said. We should resist. And so hopefully a lot of people will finally, you know, start resisting. One of the few heroes, if there are any heroes. And I feel like he's caved to the vaccine quite a bit. Rand Paul has. He hasn't taken it yet. He says he has natural immunity, and I'm all for that natural immunity stuff. I like that. That's what I have. I don't want to mess with it. Okay? I don't want any fake or synthetic immunity. No, thank you. I think God did a good job, and I'm going to go with God's job. And when it fails, I'll just chalk that up to, what was decreed in the beginning. You shall surely die, and I shall. And it will be someday, after this minute. I don't know when, but it's a for sure thing. My mortal flesh is going to come to its end, but I will rise again because I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And, would like to always get back to that. Okay. I got my eye on the prize. I'm not taking my eye off the prize. That was the whole idea of opening the show with eternal life. That is the prize. Eternal life through Jesus Christ is the prize. And allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and change you. And, by the washing of the water of His Word. But if you need to read His Word, you need to become intimate. You have to make yourself love it. You have to make yourself read it. Because everything in you is opposed to the truth. Because we're all born in sin. That's it. We're all born in sin. With a death sentence. We're predisposed to sin. We're predisposed to choose sin. I mean, for someone like me, I hate sin. I never want to sin again. I long for the day when Jesus comes because I know when He comes, I will be like Him. And you know what Jesus never wants to do? Sin. He doesn't even have the desire to sin. There's nothing pulling on Him. There's no enjoyment, nothing attractive about it like there is for our fallen flesh. As Paul said, it is no longer I who sin. Lamenting. And we need to get to that point where we lament sin as Paul did. It's no longer I who sin, but sin that dwells in me, in my mortal flesh, that is. So we see how he struggled and he fought the good fight. And we need to fight that good fight. If we do sin, we have a mediator with God, who is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. And that way, we don't ever want to. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Hello? Don't want me. That was ghost caller number 2. Calling back again. Thank you. Yes. Repent. And maybe you don't like that repentance stuff, or she, or it, whatever. You never know in this time we live in what's going on out there. But yeah, I pray for my ghost callers that they will understand the gospel. And they're listening. Thank God they're listening. Maybe God is put a calling on their life. Maybe they just don't have the courage to speak. We have no idea what's going on, but He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. He already paid the price. We just need to allow His Holy Spirit. That's what I believe, that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, to work repentance in you. So we now need to allow that repentance work in us and the Holy Spirit to give us a sorrow. And to renew our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. So very important to be in the Word. Very important to become intimate with God's Word so that it can work in you. Yeah, that's my prayer for everyone listening, everyone out there, your families, your household, that they will all come to repentance. Anyway, this article came out a few days ago. John Rappaport. And it says, and you can verify all this for yourself, and I put a link in the chat room there to it. Thou places a law, and okay, Sid is saying something there to somebody. Let me check the chat room here for a minute. Yeah. Okay. I'll get to the article then. 3/4 of new COVID cases are in vaccinated people. CDC study. Once more, dear people, John says, I put my hazmat suit and enter the fake world where SARS-CoV-2 exists. The Delta variant exists. Speaking of the Delta variant, Do they have a test for the Delta variant? No. They don't even have a test for COVID. Really? Because there's another article that said that they're doing away with the what was that test called? They're doing away with it anyway because it's not reliable. Yeah. Why did they do that to begin with? But they couldn't have started their pandemic without it. So anyway, where the Delta variant exists, the test is meaningful. The case numbers are real and the vaccine makes sense. These are all lies, as I've been proving for the last year. But even within the fake world of those lies, the experts can't keep their stories straight. They contradict themselves, they expose their own fabrications, and they try to cover up those exposures with new pathetic fabrications. Here we go. RT, July 31. Quote, the CDC has released a study backing up its decision to recommend indoor masking for both vaccinated and unvaccinated Americans. The study examined the outbreak and found 3/4 of people testing positive were vaccinated. You know what that means to me? To anyone with any brain cells to rub together? And I think I have at least 3. That means, let me rub those brain cells together. That means the vaccine doesn't work. Oh, that means the vaccine doesn't work. Let me read that again. The CDC has released a study backing up its decision to recommend indoor masks for both vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Now that's how they want it. They spin it. Okay. The study examined the outbreak. One outbreak and found 3/4 of the people testing positive were vaccinated. So that means that vaccinated people should wear masks because that worked in the past. We've been wearing masks and we should do more of what didn't work. So that means neither the masks or the vaccine work. Boy, I must have 4 brain cells in there to rub together. I figured out that what the CD says means that neither work, but they want to do more of neither thing, of both things that do not work. If something doesn't work, do more of it. Maybe it'll work then. It's like I cut the board twice, 3 times and it's still too short. That's being an old carpenter. I cut it twice and it's still short. Well, they want to cut it 3 times. And if it's still too short, cut it again. The CDC released that evidence on Friday in a study of 469 cases of COVID-19 that broke out in the resort town of Cape Cod, Massachusetts earlier this month. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated persons. 4 out of 5 patients hospitalized were fully vaccinated. That's 3/4. And on average, the inoculated had completed their 2 rounds of doses only 86 days before infection. So almost a full 90 days. They had completed both, and 74% of those people still got COVID. And of course, you know how they know that it's the Delta variant, don't you? Because not because they have a test for that. Because that's what you call it when vaccinated people get COVID again. It's called the Delta variant. Yeah, that's how they know, because there is no Delta test. Oops, lab testing revealed that 90% of all Cape Cod infections involved a Delta variant of the coronavirus. That's a quote. Okay, oops again. So fully vaccinated people who are infected with the Delta variant. The study appears to negate the argument by top health officials that unvaccinated Americans are responsible for the 4-fold rise in COVID-19 cases. We gotta have cases, man. We got cases in the U.S. since June. This is an issue predominantly among the unvaccinated, which is the reason why we're out there practically pleading with the unvaccinated people to please go out and get vaccinated. White House coronavirus advisor and psychopathic liar Anthony Fauci told CNN on Sunday, adding that the U.S. is currently moving in the wrong directions with regard to stamping out COVID-19. Yet another oops, he says. The CDC report lends weight to the argument that the current crop of vaccines aren't as effective as the Delta variant although the CDC and World Health Organization both insist that vaccination is effective against severe disease and death from the virus. To quote WHO technical lead Maria Kirchhove in a briefing earlier on Friday. More nonsense. As I've been reporting for months, says John Rappaport, the three clinical trials of the major COVID vaccines were designed to only prove the vaccine could protect against mild disease, meaning cough, chills, and fever, not severe disease. The CDC New Cape Cod study of vaccinated people has caused a firestorm among the experts. A member of the White House coronavirus coffee clatch, Ben Wakana, is claiming only a very small percentage of vaccinated people who are infected with the virus can transmit it to others. However, the CDC study noted similarly that high viral loads were found in vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And it's blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on about the tests and all that nonsense. And we know that this test that they have, the PCR test, that they're running at too many cycles, 40 cycles for unvaccinated and 28 if you're vaccinated. So remember, the vaccinated people who are being tested at a lower cycle, 28 cycles, are still testing positive. And the people who are unvaccinated are running that the CDC guidelines. That's what their guidelines are. 28 cycles for vaccinated, 40 cycles for unvaccinated. So this even makes it worse than it really is. Okay. So anyway, that article is there, and a lot of good articles at LouRockwell.com. I have to admit, I have a quite libertarian, politically speaking, leaning in my thought process. So LouRockwell.com has a lot of good articles. John Rappaport and Dr. Mercola and Ben Sardi, others, very, very good, continually putting out articles to help the cause against the Antichrist Borg transhuman jab. And that's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against the Antichrist Borg assimilating people forever, okay? Because this is forever. Because that's an eternal death. Yes, just like we're offering eternal life through Jesus Christ, they're offering eternal death by keeping you away from the true gospel message and the blood of Christ and true salvation. You must be born again. That's it. Just say no to drugs. Yeah, that's one thing that Nancy Reagan got right. Just say no. Just say no to drugs. And I guess I have to repent of the few times I took aspirin and the one time I took antibiotics. But I'm not so, you know, I've given antibiotics to my animals before and saved their lives. But now in total control California, I can't even buy antibiotics for my animals before. They're afraid that people are going to use them because they don't want to go to the doctor. I could still buy ivermectin for my horses, though. I'm pretty sure they're going to take care of that one soon. There's probably already got a bill running through the state legislature on that one, since they're already controlling everything else having to do with animal husbandry. And because now you got to get in, you can only get it through a licensed veterinarian, or you can order it out of state. If you have any friends in a state where they don't have total control, you can have them. Oh, probably against the law to even say that you can have someone buy it out of state for you. And, or you can go across the border if you're near a border of a state that has more draconian restrictions like, California with a K. Yeah. So anyway, coming up on the end of the program here, let's see. Any comments in the chat room? MD Medicine Dispensers. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I don't know what more I can say that I've already said in this broadcast. And I want to thank everybody for showing up and giving me a little support in the chat room there. And a special thank you to all those people that are supporting the broadcast and supporting First Amendment Radio and spreading the word, because, you know, we're pretty much shadow banned on all of your social media, on YouTube and everywhere where you go. So the only way people are going to hear about this broadcast and First Amendment Radio is for you to spread the word. So make sure you do that. Yeah. Oh, Colorado's right up there with California, says Sid. They already took ivermectin for animals off the street. Yeah, and they probably off the sheet, it says. And they may be off here. I've got like, you know, 10 tubes in my refrigerator for my animals. We use it for, what do you call it? Parasite control in animals. So it's good for parasites too. Definitely good for parasites. That's what we primarily use it for. Okay, I'm about done here, and I want to thank you all for showing up and say, may the Almighty keep you and bless you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you all next time.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.